when the sun rises in the west and sets in the east, when the seas go dry and mountains blow in the wind like leaves, then you will return, my sun and stars, and not before.
Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to do the same with its second edition. Tune in each episode for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to George R.R. Martin, Fantasy Flight Games, Card Game DB, and you, our loyal and new listeners. Check us out at www.whitebookpodcast.com and contact us on Facebook and Twitter or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com. This CC licensed music is Townfish by Spinozar.
Freaking quote ever.
You know, I thought it was pretty good for this episode, you know, as we have our half-living sun and stars here joining us on the episode, who we are a little bit later going to attempt to convince to return. Dear listeners, I present to you Daryl Lloyd.
How's it going?
so excited.
Not really sure how to follow that up.
I wish we had, like, an applaud sound drop or something.
That can happen in post.
That potentially could.
It's Will's duty for that. Let's all be
Will, like, I've listeners edited, can imagine.
That's also true.
Will's like, I've edited 800 of these things. You're not getting applause.
Yeah, I generally don't insert other sound effects. I feel like I did in a couple of the episodes, but not so much these days. But this week in particular is just insanely busy. Actually, it's this month in general. Bachelor party, convention trip to try and get ourselves back in front of Stephen and Mel. Fingers crossed we can convince him to follow up and, you know, perform the wedding. Then Moon Boy at the end of the month. And yeah, just, it's pretty crazy.
Clearly Moon Boy is the priority here.
It really should be. I've not been working nearly hard enough on extra prizes for that thing, so we'll see how it goes. But I think we've got a good time planned. I think people are going to be coming by to hang out at Greg's beforehand on Friday night and maybe do a little drafting or something. And yeah, then the main event and on to Cody's for beer and burgers after that.
With the schedule that you've got, you sound like you're due for some beer.
Yeah. Well, I've got one actually right now. I have a Sam Adams sparkling ale.
Really?
Ooh.
How was that?
Not bad. I had bought one of the very large holiday sampler packs, so that's how I wound up with it. It's not my favorite out of the pack, but it's certainly passable.
You're not drinking enough if you're still on holiday sampler packs.
Oh no, I bought it like the middle of January.
Yeah, I can vouch for him. He's had enough.
Oh, yeah, Daryl can vouch that. He was intimately involved in the Bachelor last weekend.
Was he the stripper?
You know, yeah, I'm a man of many talents. You know, Beethoven wrote several symphonies. You know, Henry Rollins does his spoken word, and I know how to make a man have a good time.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why he gets the sun and stars.
That's right.
Hey-o.
Innuendos.
You know what else is a good time?
Should we introduce ourselves?
Are you going to say Thrones?
I was thinking about it, but I was also leaning forward saying reading the White Book podcast website. But yes, Aaron's right. We should identify ourselves.
It's like,
I'm still Will, as much as I might wish otherwise.
I'm a lot I'm more Tommy than I used to be.
Oh.
I'm Aaron, but no one cares about any of us this week.
Okay, now I'm Daryl. I'm used to going second.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Well, see, Daryl, you used to get that second spot by being the person that was on the show longest after me.
You're right.
But then you disappeared on us, so you got bumped to guest host status.
Off into the sunset.
Yep. I think what you're trying to say, Will, is guest celebrity host status.
Yes, that's true.
Celebrity?
Does that feel better, Daryl?
Man, I wish.
It's like Celebrity Jeopardy up in here.
Yeah, where's my check?
If you show up to Moonboy, it'll be there.
I'm sorry, but your cock on it, it's not. Yeah, that is not sufficient payment.
I don't know. You always check it out.
I mean, yes. This is weird.
I mean, if nothing else, Daryl, you ought to come out to hang out with us afterward at Cody.
Yeah, I'd like to see everybody. I think it would be a fun time. I don't know. Who all do you guys have coming in? The Tulsa Boys and
Tulsa
folks in Tennessee, I think. Is that where they're from?
Yeah, they marked down on Facebook that some of them are coming.
Okay.
Yeah, like Scooter and Crystal, I think.
Nice.
Maybe another person or two out of their meta. We'll see. Hopefully we can catch an eye on one or two.
Sure.
Scheduling sucks this year because they put everything the same weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty tough here.
Hey, Scooter's an awesome name for someone from Tennessee. I just thought I should drop that.
Yep.
Like, what's the dude from Tennessee's name? Scooter? Yes, it is.
Yep.
And sure.
I mean, I have no idea. Is that where, like, Hover Round is, like, based out of or something? I don't know where you got the connection.
I mean, it's just, if you think of someone from Tennessee, it's like, what's his name? Scooter? Yeah, that's his name. Perfect.
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, Daryl. Scooter jokes, good God. You bastards have missed me.
Yeah, wow. This is what we have to resort to when you're not around.
Oh, my God.
There's nobody here to make quality jokes.
This is terrible.
I know.
Does anyone still listen to this shit? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
A few. We hit like 6,700 listens in January.
Very so nice.
Numbers continue to grow.
Good. Congrats. All that good stuff.
Yeah. You know what else we've been growing? I know Aaron wants to hit on this pretty heftily there. We've been growing on the website, whitebookpodcast.com. We've been kicking around quite a few articles from some guest contributors there that I think are now solidifying into a regular schedule, thanks to our editor who stepped up from the listener base, Luke, and as well Alex. I don't know if I should count Alex as part of the listener base, as he tells me pretty much monthly that our episodes are too long. But he is stepping up to help edit and organize, along with writing articles for us.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I think Aaron had some particular articles he wanted to kind of hit on and make sure folks were looking for. What were those again?
Those are, like, I had it up in front of me. All right. We've got Luke himself is writing a Nerdly Ned article. He talks about Nedly plots. I think it was really interesting. Alex, this is Alex Kern, the better Alex, is doing the deck doctor with anyone who wants to go on and make a good deck. He's talking it through, making good decks. That just went up.
Yeah, it's always good awesome. To get your deck checked out from time to time.
By the deck doctor. And then Patrick wrote the White Harbor Times. He's talking about marshalling and challenges, because good Lord, have we talked enough about plots.
You actually goofed on that one. Isn't White Harbor Times Miss Fitch?
Is it? Damn it, White Harbor Times, because then Lauren wrote it. The problem was, and I actually read it, the problem was they sent it in and Luke posted it, so there was no name below it. So sorry, Lauren, who's much, much better than Patrick in every way, talked about marshalling and challenges.
I'm not sure I want to say every way. I mean, I do enjoy Lauren's articles, but Patrick's do have a lot more meme pictures.
Fair point. I just meant as a human being, really.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We also have our YouTube series, Dobbler Talk, which is Greg doing talking, because that's what Greg does. And Beyond the White Book, which is me and Dark Nodge building decks and playing games. We built a Jon Snow deck.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't think it works, but we built it.
And it happened.
And so, other words, there is just a crap ton of content available.
I believe that is the technical term.
I wanted to make sure that it was correct.
Yep. Moving on. So,
yeah.
So what would it take to get you to either play Thrones, Daryl, or go into the snow in a bikini?
Well, go into the snow in a bikini would probably cost you about $20.
That's it?
Oh, that's come on. Cheap. I mean, you can't say how long I have to stay out there, you know? And to play Thrones again, I mean, that's a really long story. Honestly, I was thinking about it today because I thought that you guys would do something like this. And, I played 1.0 for a long time. I met a lot of my friends playing it, and, I still have great relationships with those people. After they made the switch, it was like, I knew it was coming. I play tested the core set for the second edition, and it was one of those things. I think for me, it took a lot longer to sink in, I think, than some of the other guys who were just like, oh, they're rebooting it. I'm out of here. You know, I was like, man, I'm excited about this. I want to play. I want to be more involved. I want, you know, continue to do this and that and the other. And then it launched. And then I don't know exactly what it was, but it was kind of like you have this tiger, right? And he's out in the wild and he's got all these things, all these places he could go, you know, all this free space. And then you put him in a zoo and you put him in this little cage here. And the reason I use that analogy is to compare the card pool, right, from 1.0 to 2.0. Now, I've talked to Greg a ton, you know, and he's like, oh, there's actually a ton of combinations. You know, there's all this. And I understand that. I understand that you can now, you know, dual house without an issue and this, that, and the other and loyalty cards. And that's fine and dandy. But I think one of the things that made Game of Thrones really interesting for me was constantly theory crafting with this gigantic card. You know, at the beginning, the card pool wasn't as big, but when I got in, I think they had just released the Greyjoy box or something. Can't really remember. But, you know, back then, this was before Restricted List and all that jazz, and Worlds that year was insane. And through the years, you know, the card pool got bigger and bigger and bigger. And yes, they did start using the Restricted List more proactively and banned a couple cards and this, that, and the other. But regardless, I would spend a lot of time just thinking up and talking, and I used to text Will and Brett these different card interactions and things that I thought would be interesting. And that was really fun for me. So that kind of became my passion. Now, yes, you know, those same elements are still there, but it is rather limited compared to the way it is now. And really it just came down for me. I didn't want to start over again. I also felt like maybe it was time to move on to other games. And, I work on some of my own ideas and things like that. Will's been a part of that, and we've kind of knocked some things back and forth. And maybe I felt like the free time that I did have, I just didn't feel like committing to Game of Thrones anymore. I didn't feel like going and showing up every Saturday. I think maybe I just burnt myself out. You know, I played so long and so hard, and we all did this podcasting, and I was on the forums every day. I didn't post as much, but I was a lurker for sure. And I don't know, man. I just felt like it was time to try something new. And really, I was never a big card gamer. You know, I've dabbled in a lot of card games, but I wasn't into anything quite like I was into Thrones, and I haven't replaced that with anything. Right now I think I play a fair amount of D&D and sure. League of Legends, because I must hate myself. But that whenever I can fit in, a little bit of time for a video game nowadays, I mean, those are kind of what I do, at the moment. So for me to get into Thrones right now, they would, you know, I don't know, release a expansion that I thought was interesting.
Okay, wait, because part one is a thing that's literally happening in the next month or two. You're getting the Stark box within a month or two.
Well, if Daryl finds Stark interesting.
Right, so it has to be interesting. And what I mean by that, and I saw that there were some spoilers. I don't know if they spoiled Shaggy Dog. I see they're bringing that back in some capacity. but it would have to be interesting. So what I've seen from Thrones so far, I've seen a lot of regurgitated ideas, which makes sense. There were a lot of interactions that were really cool in 1.0 and things like that, and it makes sense to kind of bring them out again. And we got to, you know, you have to know that they're starting over again. So they can't just go balls deep, or obviously with the way that they release things, you get a chapter pack a month and then, you know, every so many months and, you know, a big box expansion. And it would have to be, I don't know, man. I really liked Wildlings. I really liked Shadows. Right now, I know from what I've heard, okay, I should say that. I don't play anymore, really, but The last I heard, Control players wanted to run, you know, 3x Varus and reset the game over and over again, and I really hate that. I like Control decks. I mean, I love me some Control deck. You know, Black Cells in 1.0 were my shit, and, you know, I loved Lanny Neal and things like that, but that type of play, to me, is not fun.
There is a dominant Neal deck, or at least a very good Neal deck that you could play. There's also Burn Control.
Right. I mean, who doesn't love burning things, right? I mean, yeah. I've probably played every deck at some point in some way, but one of my big problems with Thrones is how long a game takes. It can take a very long time, right? And I don't see it getting any shorter either. I know that there were kind of at the end of 1.0, kind of there were moves to try and make the game a little faster. And with the introduction of Prized was, I thought, a really interesting mechanic as well. So hopefully they bring that back, for one. I think that was interesting. But with the game, the way it is, I don't know, man. They'd have to change something.
So I think the game's
something major.
I think the game is actually really much quicker than 1.0 right now, because without Valar, power that gets on characters just tends to stay on the board. So, like, by a few plots, it's generally, like, your Tywin will have 4 or 5 power, your Robert will have 4 or 5 power, and that really accelerates the game, I think.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with your analogy that you used and say a little line from Dio. Maybe you need to just ride the tiger.
Ride the tiger in a small cage.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, like, I don't know.
Have you ever ridden a tiger before? It's probably pretty tough.
That's true. I've never done that. I need to do that. How can I do that and not get arrested? But,
I don't know.
You go listening
to Holy Diver and Holy Diver. Yes. Yeah.
Song rules. so
but seriously, yeah. I think that you would love Voltron.
Much stronger than it used to be. Even just renown in general, I feel, is so much stronger in second edition. I don't feel like those characters leave play the same way, even with Varus.
Yeah. I mean, I think he only discards, right?
Yeah, he's
discards right. Everybody.
And he's cancelable and killable and expensive.
Right.
And you can save from him, and yeah, you can see him.
Right.
You
know, well, I'm not saying that Varus is specifically the only reason I don't play, but I feel that the need for three of that character to just kind of... it just kind of shows the flaw that has always inherently been with Game of Thrones.
Well,
and that is the need for a reset.
But you don't need three of. Like, a lot of decks don't run three of. I'd even go so far as to say most decks don't run much Varus.
Do they run one? Do most decks run
no.
one?
No, almost no decks run. You run two, three, or none. But I would say the majority of decks, like over 50%, still run zero. I'm actually going to go look while you guys continue this discussion.
Sure. So... Maybe people are still have Wildfire and things like that. But that's just been another part of it that I haven't really enjoyed. I think maybe putting a cap on like the number of characters you have out or something. I don't know.
I don't run Wildfire. Wildfire, I think, is a bad card. We did this last week with Bruno
it's
and Greg.
Crutch.
I don't like Wildfire.
But, I mean, again, that's not my biggest problem with the game. Obviously, I played for years, and I abused Valor plenty along with everybody else. But...
I totally empathize with what you were saying in terms of, you know, not being able to just sit there and brainstorm and come up with something that you'd never thought of before. I mean, yeah. I miss that a lot myself. That was one of my favorite parts about the game. And I mean, I would regularly be texting people and saying, hey, I just thought about this. What do you think about that? And, you know, I just don't find myself doing that with 2.0 and right now. But I have a feeling that probably, I don't know, three more packs and the big box, and I'll be doing that again.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's going to be some interesting things to look at. And every time they release something new, right? I mean, that is what went through my head every time I went through it. You know, a new card coming out of a chapter pack was like, okay, what can I use this with? You know, every single card, try to look at it in some way. And the game is obviously going to get there. And in 3 years, you're going to have a ton of stuff to play around with and things like that. The question is, do I want to invest in it? Do I want to buy stuff now that I'm just not going to play with until the card pool gets like ridiculously large? I don't know if I'll
do. So you're telling me as long as once the card pool hits the right side that you're in?
I would say there's a chance. Yeah. I wouldn't rule anything out. I played the game for so long and, I do enjoy it. But I don't know. There's also the part of me that really hated the tournament scene at the end too. I did halfway decent the past few years, and my first year. I had a little drought there. My second and third year, I think, going 0-2 at Worlds. But after that, you know, I've always been like 4-2 or 3-3. So I've always done good, at least okay, passable. But I didn't enjoy, I don't enjoy the atmosphere like that. It's weird. So I am a competitive person to an extent, but I'm also, I consider myself a halfway decent person, a nice guy, if you will, even. And I didn't like the way that the tournament, like that competition in Game of Thrones in particular made me feel, right? So I could play a game like League of Legends where you got guys like flaming each other and all that jazz. I don't do a lot of that, but I can play one of those games, kind of this impersonal experience, but I felt like I was very close to Game of Thrones, very close to the community, and I still don't like to lose, right?
So you're just telling us we need to be bigger assholes to you?
No, I don't like to lose, right? And so I do want to win. I do want to be competitive, but I don't like the feeling that I get whenever I lose, because a lot of it would start to feel, I never felt like I just, okay, I did feel, okay, there were a few times where I felt like, man, I got beat by a better player than me. John Bruno's beat me more than a few times. I've lost to Greg. So, I mean, there have been a number of players that have just, you know, crushed me. But at the same time, I'm notorious, right, for making really dumb mistakes. And that just kind of got to me after a while. I got really tired of it. I got really tired of having these excuses after I wouldn't, you know, take a tournament, just like, man, why didn't I do this and stuff? And just this constant kind of frustration with this thing that I really enjoyed doing. And so if I do play again, I think I would play, but in a more casual sense. I don't think I would ever play in a tournament again, just for the way it's like losing a pickup game is one thing. But I think, you know, those tournaments, you pay like $20 to do it. You've been teching and tweaking your deck, you know, for all this time and going through the motions of prepping for that. You know, unlike the rest of the guys, I don't always, you know, come up with a deck that day and just kick ass with it. I have to play it constantly. And so to kind of be fruitless in that effort really started to get to me over the year, which is weird. And so I'd be in a bad mood, right, at Worlds or something like that in an environment that I should be really excited about and that I'm normally really chipper about. But all it takes is those first couple of losses where you know you can't make the cut again. You know, and
so what we're saying is if we let you win Moon Boy.
No, you guys let me win Worlds. Let me design a card. Let me officially get a card out there with my name on it, dude. I'm all about it again.
Done. I will perfect. Eliminate everyone in front of you. Let's do
it. Does this count as collusion? I don't know.
Hell yeah. I'm all for collusion.
Hell yeah.
I don't care about FFG's non-rules.
So, you know, I don't know. That's why I started to play less, I think. And, but I, you know, I still like the process that comes with card games and things like that. And, the design process, especially, I always liked being a playtester and doing those things. It was really fun for me whenever I had the time to do it. So I still like that. But for me to play right now out of the core set and just over and over again see the same shit, that's not fun for me.
So I've got a serious suggestion. Why don't you try Melee? Like, I know how that sounds coming from me, trust. But, like, 2.0 Melee sounds like it's exactly what you're looking for. No one has any idea exactly what's good. It's so much better designed than 1.0 Melee. It's not even comparable. And, like, it's just, like, this crazy, like, anything can work. Like,
sure.
It's really, like, genuinely different. I feel like it's answering almost everything you're looking for right now.
It's funny you say that, Aaron, because that was literally what I was just going to say next as well. Because not only do the titles fix a lot of those competitive issues, especially at the big tournaments that Melee used to have, but like you said, there's so much variety that you can make work in Melee. And then even if you feel like doing something just crazy and full of flair, like I could see you playing Martell in Melee and trying to pull off their like super mega turn, one turn win kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the outlet for that kind of shenanigan.
Yeah. And it's all that shit talk that's like good natured and friendly. And yeah, it's actually... I don't think I'm playing Melee at Gen Con or anything, but I like the concept of 2.0 Melee.
It's been really good in the games I've played. Plus, Daryl, man, I'm looking for people to sit down and play a Melee with me here locally.
buy the booze and the cards, and then make him sit down and play.
I mean, I could probably do something like that. You know, show up and play a game still.
Are you going to Gen Con?
Yeah, I'll be there.
So if you go to Gen Con, I'll play Melee with you. Like, I'll even build the deck. We can both play it. And I don't usually Melee for shit, but I'll build
it. Oh, that's a good one. If you can get Glazer to play Melee, that's fun. Man.
Yeah, I'd totally Melee with you.
I mean, I probably won't be a stranger around the FFG card hall area because, you know, I want to say hey to everybody. But we'll see. Even in Melee, I did halfway decent in Melee at least one year. I think I made top 16. But I still don't like that feeling that comes with, like, that level of competition. I don't know. I have a weird personality, I think, like that. Like, it just, I just didn't like the way it made me feel.
There's no more card design for Melee. There's no more, like,
overall.
Overall. So Melee is literally just a fun game right now. And it's a way to stay involved with the community.
Nobody's taking it as seriously as they used to.
Yes. It's not a joke game, but it's not like, oh man, we're all going to like bring Siege in 18, you know? Because it doesn't matter that
way. I mean, Melee's always been pretty questionable. You know, anytime you get two guys that have been in the same place, I think a lot of people had trouble, you know, separating their friendships and putting aside. I mean, and it makes sense, right? I mean, honestly, the design of competitive Melee is almost laughable. You can't look at, you know, I can't sit across from one of my good friends and just expect to watch him just take it in the ass at this world championship event that he has planned for. He spent all this money. He's put all this time and effort into this, and he's trying. And this was back when, obviously, I'm talking about when there was something to gain from Melee. You know, you just can't expect someone to just let it go. It's really hard. I personally had to watch Greg at a table where I got first and he got last, and I wanted to do something for him, but I just couldn't, you know, and you can't fight that. But maybe now that it doesn't mean anything, maybe people will be more inclined to stab their friends in the back, because I love stabbing people in the back.
Yeah, me too.
I've totally stabbed Greg in the back.
I know you have. I remember that story. And what happened? He didn't talk to you for how long?
I don't know. A while. It was kind of awkward.
Exactly. Yeah. You know.
But hey, it made for a good game, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
what you got to be willing to do.
It does. I mean, I have lied to people several times, and it is very enjoyable. I think the guy who won overall back in like 2013 or 2012, I can't remember, but he mismade this post like, don't trust Daryl with deals. Because he gave me like a summoning season. Awesome. And he thought next turn I was going to give him one. And I was like, no. So it was a great time. And, you know, that's really fun. I think that is kind of the essence of Game of Thrones, you know.
So what I'm hearing is we're playing Melee at Gen Con?
I don't know if I'll play at Gen Con, but I'll probably play some Melee games. I don't know yet.
At Gen Con, let's me and you get some drinks and we'll play Melee. And fuck it if it's in a tournament or not, because Lord knows I don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could do that. I don't know if I will pay money.
You know, I'll pay for your Melee. I'll pay for your Melee entry.
It's not really
now
a problem.
We got a thing.
There you go. How do you turn that down?
Oh man, free Melee.
And I will have at least a cup of soda full of
booze. I mean, now you're speaking my language.
That's the only way.
I actually don't drink that much. I think people think I drink a lot. I don't drink that much.
Me neither.
We definitely know you drink a lot.
Maybe you don't drink enough anymore, and that's why you don't play Thrones anymore.
Maybe you're right. But we'll see. I think if they can introduce some interesting ideas. I really didn't like just going back to, you know, why I don't play anymore. It's like I also didn't really like the design coming at the end of 1.0. You know, like I thought Alufin Apart was really lame. I thought it was really lazy. I didn't like it at all.
Well, they were trying to do what 2.0 actually does. They were trying to make big cost characters matter.
And I understand
so
that.
Built around that.
I mean, I understand that, but it was not interesting to me. Personally, I don't know. I think there's a lot of cool things you can do with Game of Thrones. I think there's a lot of awesome ideas. And now that they're starting over, there definitely could be a lot of design space, I guess. And they could regurgitate some ideas and change them around, hopefully. So I don't know. But yeah. That's okay. Me.
All right. So,
listeners, if you have good reasons that Daryl should play again, let us know in the comments.
I'm going to get flamed.
I thought a Loof and a Part was awesome.
Hey, can we get you on right before Gen Con to build a melee deck?
Oh, yeah, live building episode. Oh, done.
Brilliant.
You want me on for that?
We want you on for that. Because I'm paying for your melee and getting you booze for it, so you're coming
familiar with the card pool again.
Yeah.
And does Nate still listen to this show?
Yeah, we think so.
All right, maybe? We should probably cut out the part where I said I thought it was lazy. But you can the part where I thought I didn't like it. I want to be truthful, but I don't want to come off as an asshole, even though we know I am both of those things.
Listeners, welcome back to the second portion of this week's episode, and we're changing it up on you. We've got a whole brand new guest on to talk about a special format event going on the far side of the continent. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be on. My special format event is called Thrones War. Well, that's what the war stands for. It's not very fun, but it stands for Weekend at Ryan's.
I thought you just had to like yell war at the top of your lungs because I always saw it capitalized.
Do you pretend you're dead for the weekend and they have to like move your body?
It's Weekend at Bernie's laser.
Oh, shit.
Except all right. I'm alive. This will be our fourth year. It originally replaced a big California tournament called CaliCon that was a mainstay sort of in this dead time between worlds and regional season. It was before Sword Championships, which are actually kind of conflicting now, 4 years later. But it originally was so that all the California guys could have another excuse to get together in the long winter. But it's evolved from... What's up?
Do you guys have winter?
Well, I mean, it's on the calendar, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a warm, sunny wonderland over there.
Of all today of us, was Tom is the only one with winter.
Was 85, and it was a little warm.
It was 18 here.
Yeah, that's very different.
And awful.
Yeah, so it definitely was just a sort of basic house weekend tournament. It's always been invitational only. Or, invite only because it's in my house and there's only so much house to go around. This year, we're going to be pushing the seams at 32 players. I think I might have to set up some tables on my deck. But the whole hook of the tournament is that we have 8 team captains that each represent a different house, or I guess faction now. So everyone, the 8 of us get together and we basically do choosing of houses and teams from the remaining players in the sort of the free agent pool. And then we end up with one house each and 3 other participants to form our team. And then we do a basic 5 rounds of Swiss and then a top 8 cut. In Swiss, you can't end up facing or being paired against your own team. And then in the cut, I can't really guarantee that. So I say if you face your own house in the cut, there's going to be no like jockeying around or reseeding to try and accommodate that. And then the winners, there's an individual winner, obviously just of the joust, but there's also 4 team winners, whichever team has the most total wins by the end of the tournament, including Swiss and the cut. Everyone gets special prizes, usually custom play mats for the top team at the end of the day.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
That sounds, I really want to go.
So
how long does it take to run that hole?
There's not a whole lot of extra time between rounds. I do have to do a little bit of magic to not pair people together in between rounds. The last couple of years, actually, I've tried to play a very rushy deck to guarantee that I'm out of that round before it ends and I can start preparing for the math magic. But it's not much longer than a normal 32 person 5 rounds of Swiss top 8 would go, basically all day.
And so you guys pre-draft the teams so that everybody can build decks of the same house and whatnot?
Yeah, I try and have everybody lock in like 100% confirmation that they're gonna show up. And then we call them the kings, the team leaders get together. And we actually use a janky fantasy football site that lets you create an auction using NFL players. So we end up doing an auction sort of in a snaking draft pattern for who gets to put up either a player or a house. And we have to actually come up with names that are in the NFL that can be attributed to a house or remaining players. So everyone has this chart. It's free. It's easy. All the auction itself is automated, but it's kind of our tradition to use this silly fantasy football auction thing.
So let's start with what was the highest priced house? Like, was the order the houses were bought in?
I believe each king had 40 play dollars to work with to acquire one house and three players. I believe Lannister went for the highest with 18, so almost twice the average slot for what you need to pay for an average slot.
And what about the player? What players were expensive?
Well, I should talk a little bit about the kings themselves. It's mostly arbitrary, and I just choose them. But I generally try and pick people that are sort of at the top of the competitive game. This year, I just went straight down in World's Joust order, either 1.0 or 2.0. That sadly left out our venerable John Bruno. So he was in the free agent pool, which is a bit of a wild card. How much will someone pay to get John Bruno on their team? This year,
I'll give you $20 to take him.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely spreading a lot of lies about how bad he is at the game.
Yeah, that sounds like
that
Bruno.
He hadn't picked it up. Despite that, I think he went for 28 or 29, almost three times the average player's cost there. He was
player was associated with the name?
John Bruno. There must have been a player with the last name Bruno. I can't specifically remember that one, but
oh man, I would have made Bruno Gronk.
Yeah,
Bruno's so Gronk.
I definitely tried to keep the names close so that people could just look at the name and have a fairly good clue as to who they were getting.
And who were you? And who was Lannister?
I ended up getting Tyrell as the second to last house picked. Between that and Night's Watch, which I'll talk about in a second. Chris Schoenthal, who's a regular at Worlds and Gen Con, ended up drafting Lannister, and by all accounts has a very stacked team. The players are great, and he has Lannister, so he's kind of the front runner. But last year, our front runner was Martell, and it ended up in dead last. So a lot of these early predictions don't really come out the way people think they're going to.
So who are your other kings, and what are the houses?
So we have John Barber with Team Baratheon. He's a world regular. John Krause, Team Greyjoy.
Cranky Krause.
As I said, Chris Schoenthal is leading Team Lannister. Johnny Wright, who got fourth at Worlds this year, is leading Team Martell. Lucas Sedlaski has got Team Night's Watch, which all of us were pretty happy to not get Night's Watch. It was the sort of consensus who's going to go out with too much money too early on players and end up having to take Night's Watch. And
it was
Lucas who decided to. Is that right? Well, maybe you should get in touch with him because I think he's sweating a little bit.
Yeah, tell him to get in touch with me. Like, I don't know Lucas at all, but like, I got ideas. Like, Beyond the Wall just built a Night's Watch deck that I know firsthand is great. I mean, they built it. They stole Dan's deck and pretended they were building it. We're getting an article tomorrow. Jeremy Hammond is posting his Night's Watch Kraken, which is also an excellent deck that Kern and I have spent a bunch of time working on with him. So,
well, I actually kind of hope that he doesn't look at any of that stuff because as it should be, he got, in our estimation, the worst house, but traded that for having a completely stacked team of 1.0 veterans that are all real good players that are, if they can get that magic in the deck, I think they're going to be tough to deal with based on player skill.
All right, I got to find this guy. Make him bribe me.
Don't do it. rounding out the rest of the Kings, we have James Speck leading Team Stark.
Ah, I love James.
He ended up picking up John Bruno. So between the two of them and not having to get Night's Watch, they're also in the sort of discussion about the team to beat. We have Neil Kimble of Summer's Coming fame, leading Team Targaryen. Might have spent the most on a house. I think he went real hard on Targaryen.
Wait, did he get Tiny?
Tiny was originally on the roster, but had to drop out due to having too many kid problems. Just having too many kids.
Let's be honest, due to no one trying to bid on him. Boo, Tiny.
He was actually on a temporary ban from Thrones War after being a king, drafting an entire team, and then deciding not to come down and lead his team 2 years ago. But the ban only lasted like 360 days because I invited him to the next year after getting over it. So it was definitely a ceremonial ban.
I like that it took you 360 days to get over it.
Yeah, I'm not too great at forgiving there, so just enough. And then last we have Ryan Jones leading Team Tyrell. And I was pretty happy to get Tyrell.
Yeah.
It came down to Greyjoy, Tyrell, and Night's Watch as the last three houses. And I love Greyjoy and I love Tyrell. So as long as I didn't get Night's Watch, I was going to be pretty happy.
Man, we could have won you this with Night's Watch, but all right. All right. So I hear you have an announcement from you and John Wright.
Johnny has set up a contest. I'll start with saying that we're going to stream as many games as we can at the tournament. I've actually got a guy coming who's not even going to play in the tournament. He's just going to run all the social media and streaming. His name is Ross Thompson, and he doesn't do much playing, but he's a big social media guy. So he's going to come and be that liaison for us. So we should have every round of the Swiss and Cut streamed on Twitch. The channel is @Got_Ryan is where the stream's going to be. And then Johnny Wright has set up a Google Form contest with a bunch of questions, the rosters of each of the teams, and you're going to get points for each question that you answer correctly. It's stuff like which team's going to get first, which team's going to place or show, or for the non-gamblers, get first or second, or first, second, third. There's a total wins question, what team is going to have, or how many wins will the winning team have total? There's a couple over-under questions about agenda use. Will there be more than 7.5 fealty agendas in the field, less than 7.5? There is another rule that I didn't mention, which actually is going to play heavily into how this all shapes out. Since it's so early in 2.0, I decided that each team can only run the same agenda in two of their decks, not or even three of their decks. So that means Bera Fealty will probably be two of the four Bera decks, but Bera's going to have to find two other competitive decks, or maybe two or three other competitive decks for their remaining players to use.
Hmm.
Originally, I had said no duplicate agendas at all, so everyone would have to run a different agenda, but I felt like there weren't four competitive agendas for every single house.
There are.
That's fine. I just think there's an impression that there isn't, yeah. And I wouldn't want someone to have to feel like they weren't running a deck that could win the whole tournament just based on sort of an arbitrary rule. Everyone felt pretty comfortable with you can run two of the same agenda, so that's where that ended up getting locked in at.
Awesome. I'm going to totally win that betting thing, and I'm going to give everyone decks to make it to make sure I win. It's going to be funny.
I forgot to say the prize here. We've got custom house cards being made for the event, and the five people with the most points off of this contest will get a set of the house cards shipped to them. And I think it says here that whoever's the top one will get signed house cards by the winners.
Hey, we've got a white book thing to throw on there. The winner will get a Ygritte deck box.
Oh, nice.
From us. So throw that on there.
Thanks for piling on. That's great.
Yeah.
No problem. Just let me know the name and address when you have it. Or I can send it to myself when I win, but you know.
Just hold on to it. That's not as satisfying.
I mean, it is for me. I'll mail it to myself and open it and be like, oh shit, I won.
So the tournament is called Weekend at Ryan's because we do a lot of stuff beyond just this main event. Normally Friday we do a lot of board games and drinking. Sometimes there will be a side tournament. Like last year, there was a Love Letters tournament. There's talk this year of a Code Names tournament. I don't know if any of you played that, but it's
so fun.
Such a good party game. And I think it lends itself to sort of team-based tournament play in a kind of casual setting, not like hyper-competitive. And then Sunday, we have a draft. And this year, we're going to be drafting hopefully LCG games if we can finish those up, but more likely sort of LCG draft cubes created from previous LCG drafts.
Very cool.
So it's a loaded weekend. I don't think we're going to have any draft streaming. Pretty sure everyone's going to be hungover and barely okay to draft, let alone stream anything.
All right. So let's talk House Tyrell. What are you thinking for houses? Or, sorry, for agendas?
Yeah,
I can think of like five good ones, and that's crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm really happy with sort of the base Tyrell. And a lot of different ways to go with it. The one that's eluding me consistency-wise is a fealty deck. I just can't seem to get Tyrell fealty to go. But I'm loving Tyrell to the Lion.
Yeah.
It's got like 30 Lannister cards in it, so it's not really a trail deck.
Hey,
it's maybe a false banner.
It's close. I don't know what the cutoff is, if there's an official cutoff, but it's
30 Lannister characters. We're going to call that false banner.
Or cards, total Lannister cards.
Okay. Still at least half the deck false.
Yeah, I agree. It's got like Knight of Flowers, Marge, the Mander, and then Sorokin, all the very aggressive events, three of each, including Things I Do for Love, which is my favorite card.
Really?
It's a pretty great card.
It is a great card. Be wary of Hand's Judgment, man. Are you running your own Hand's Judgment?
I got three of them.
Good.
So it's a little event heavy, but they're so high impact, it's hard for me to drop them down.
So are you running Milk?
I have one and a Building Orders. It's super consistent.
I hear John Bruno doesn't like Confiscation, I'm just saying.
He was down... Saturday night for our store championship, and we went out to dinner, like the whole group, and I was having a great time trolling him with that about what a great card Confiscation is, and that was just such consistent, you know, card disadvantage for your opponent, and I think I got a little rise out of him, but he and I
great.
Know each other pretty well. It's tough to put on a show for him.
All right. So are you looking at doing two Lannister or just one?
I don't know. The group, my other three guys, none of them had specifically mentioned being Tyrell fans. I actually collected what we're calling player dossiers for everyone that was in the free agent pool, houses they like, how many games of 2.0 they'd played, what kind of win percentages they thought they had, those kinds of things. Not all of our team captains knew entire free agent pool, so I thought giving just sort of that basic information would help get fairer teams than if people were just picking people at random and not knowing the true value of a person. But because no one's had a lot of experience on my team with Tyrell other than me, I'll probably try and force Lion on someone else. My friend Angela, who's a world veteran, I think she's a good target for this aggressive go get 'em deck. Playing with me, and then the other two, I don't know. It could be this sneaky Stark rushy deck with Sansa's Rose. There's definitely a Sun deck. I feel like almost every house has a Sun deck now, kind of the way that Lion. Every house had a Lion deck.
Man, don't sleep on Fealty.
So tell me, like how do I get Fealty rolling? Like, what should be the focus? Is it rushy? There's some big draw advantage that I'm just not hitting often.
So
I'm losing a lot with Fealty.
I consider it a control deck. I generally run three Varys, and I try and keep the board full of like big guys once I've reset. But I try and keep the board sort of smallish and wait to Varys, because you should be able to reliably Varys fairly early, assuming that you can get off that Olenna's Cunning, which is basically free.
Right.
Yeah, like because Paxtar, Paxtar and your agenda Neil or house card Neil. So sure. Then you if you Varys early and then you just start dropping, especially with Olenna, like she's not great in a lot of situations, but when you're right after you Varys, when your opponent's guaranteed to have a smaller board, if you can get something right. Like the Bander out, you can that just continually you just use it as like your opponent can't keep up at that point. You've got some that by the time they do get back in it, as long as you can avoid the, you know, big kill event, you should have won the game.
Sure. That probably was where I was going wrong. I go back and forth on my Varys use, and I don't stick with it enough to get a really good feel for it. So I think I just get frustrated when it doesn't work for me, and then I just say, I'm not putting Varys in any more of my decks.
Well,
and then I get blown up.
Specifically, remember, only, like, Lannister will get a banner a lot, but it's much harder to treachery consistently in a banner, and you're only going to see main house Lannister in those certain matchups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the other consideration, like knowing that there are only four of each main house out there. It definitely is going to change the way I do some of my deck building. Like I said, I'm not going to be hitting Tyrell until the cut potentially. So what does that mean for my deck? That might be more important for Targaryen or Baratheon that have such scary decks right now, knowing that you're not going to have to face them.
I mean, some other thoughts. You should be able to generally, or most of your deck should be able to generally handle Targaryen just because you have so many strength pumps. If you play defensively, it's going to be very hard for them to win. And
that's not a matchup I'm too worried about.
And you are often, go ahead, Tommy.
In that Fealty example that you were discussing, what kind of plot line do you like in there?
My usual high gold and protective stuff. Like I haven't built it with the new stuff, but I'm thinking I might even No, probably wouldn't. I'm just considering the 10 gold plot, but I don't think
just
so.
Just to guarantee being able to play Varus early?
Yeah, but at, you just 361 calling, you noble, you calm, maybe even sneak, so you can push some hand destruction before you clear. Summons and building, because you definitely want to hit the Mander, and you're limited on your neutral cards. Marched, because if you're running Varus and not marched, you're a little silly. I think that's 7, yeah. Right? Or is that 6? Confiscation is 7. Done.
Make Bruno. Sounds reasonable.
For Bruno.
Yeah, make Bruno sad.
Yeah, I'll run 2 just to...
there you go.
I'm definitely going to play Bruno at some point. He and I are tournament buddies.
Yeah, you're the Bruno Slayer, I hear.
Definitely in 1.0. I don't think we've even played a game yet in 2.0, but not early on. Like, it took me like 4 or 5 years to actually get up to 50-50 with him, and then just a little higher in the last year or so. He's the best of us. Everyone knows it.
I don't know it. You have, I hear, more card designs than he does.
That only proves that card designs do not equal.
That's right there.
Fair
you
point.
You can definitely luck into 3 card designs, but John Bruno got him the hard way. I got one more deck idea to run by you, and I think it's bad, and I just need someone to tell me it so I don't do it. But it's essentially a Voltron Eddard Wall deck out of Tyrell.
Okay.
So, you know, with Sirio, Eddard got a big, big bump up. Like, his biggest problem was getting stealth, in my opinion. And I've always loved him before Sirio, and now I feel like that crazy big wall is just going to be real fun if you can get all the pieces together. And Tyrell, main house, has Elena's Cunning to go search pieces for this type of, I guess you can call it a combo deck, like just trying to get Eddard out, Sirio out. But some little birds, bodyguards, maybe a lady. It's kind of ridiculous to run that in a banner, but I think it's the only reasonable strength boost for him. So tell me I'm wrong. Is that worth pursuing or no?
I don't think you go all in on that wall concept. I think it's part of the concept of the deck, because I think that house and agenda just work well together.
I kind of agree that if you're doing that as your main victory condition, there's going to be games that you simply can't win. Like the Baratheon location deck, you're going to get annihilated by.
Yeah, I've considered that the biggest difficulty are going to be these big locations, and I think not a lot of people play it, but Put to the Torch could find its way into the deck as a somewhat of an answer to like the wall or Chamber of the Painted Table. I've also got it running 2 Iron Thrones, just because I feel like it's going to go that way, like defend, try and Dom.
Sure.
I think you do stand the best chance of actually playing Put to the Torch out of anything Tyrell with the strength boost. So there's something to be said there, but
sure.
I'm still kind of wary of that 5.
Yeah, I don't know how consistent. Like, I haven't even played this yet. It's all theoretical right now. But I think between Bear and the Maiden Fair and Elena's Cunning, I think Tyrell might be the go-to combo house, as long as everything else is non-loyal from the other banner. There's just so much quality search, and they're getting much and more later, I think. Isn't that spoiled? That's spoiled.
Very similar.
Okay, yeah. Searching for all those pieces is going to make some of these, you know, it's hard to call them necessarily combo decks, because you don't win when you do it. To me, that's a combo deck, is once you have it set up, you can win. Like, this one is just like, I just want to see Eddard stop everything. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to win. It's kind of like a crappy combo deck. There's got to be another word for that.
Well, instead of thinking of it as a combo deck, think of it as a rush deck. But part of your power gain is going to be on defense with Eddard.
Sure.
Like if you can get Randall winning a challenge or 2 on offense and Eddard winning even 1 on defense, you're going to close awfully quickly. True and enough. Then you've got
and having that, having Brand for protection is fantastic too.
Yeah.
And you can even combine that with Lady Sansa's Rose, Knight of Flowers, Tumblestone, etc.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't considered putting in. It's obviously got Randall as well, but sort of going half and half on a rush with this sort of complementary or backup defensive wall.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you have Iron Throne, Eddard, and Sansa out, you're going to be gaining power awfully quickly.
Yeah, Sansa's awesome.
You're just grinding that no matter what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
potentially not even doing a challenge. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And what have you thought of for boss?
Wait, what?
The line's pretty boring right now. I currently have Noble Cause, Building Orders, Banners, Confiscation, Coppers, Summons, and Wildfire. But this version is very get Eddard, make him safe, and less focused on the other aspects that we've been talking about.
I think a jousting contest might be interesting.
Yeah. Sure.
Since your NRs can be plot. Invincible.
So the Wasow Swedish meta has a suggestion that they don't know they're making because it's absolutely their suggestion. I just discussed it yesterday with our 2 days ago kid. Be very wary of counting coppers in any non-Lannister deck, but I'm going to change that slightly. If you decide to run the fealty, and I don't know if I would because Martell and Stark are both really strong options, but if you're going to run that fealty, like counting coppers is fantastic once you have Queen of Thorns on the board,
mm-hmm.
but like outside of that, be wary with it. Like, I don't know if I'd run it, especially because you're going to be running, I'm assuming, those negative one gold locations as burst draw.
You know, I have two pleasure barge in because they go dig for the pieces.
Yeah,
I've been kind of off them. I think I may have even taken them out of my recent my most recent lion build. I don't know.
If you want two dudes, why not two summons?
Yeah, potentially. Copper's idea was that I have three bodyguards, two or three Milk of the Poppy, and then two or three Little Birds and one lady. There's a lot of low cost things in addition to dupes that, sure. You know, on a turn where you're not going to have a lot of gold, I could potentially still put out two or three cards that are going to have big impacts. Like, it's kind of a, once I've got entered out, go get the attachments that help defend him.
You totally have burst draw, though. So, like, even if it's just the Mander, and, like, you can trigger that on defense by winning by five.
Yeah. Although, who's gonna run into that, you know?
Sure, but if they decide to stop challenging you, that's also a solid option.
Yeah, also good. Like, so you're not wrong.
No challenges. Okay, I'm gonna eventually whittle away and win.
That's the whole hope of the deck, is that you feel like there's no point to doing a challenge. Like, that's the kind of NPE I can definitely get behind. If I'm the one doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that Iron Throne's gonna be big in that matchup. I'm assuming that deck's gonna run support.
Yeah, it has two for Mander and Iron Throne.
Sounds right.
Not a lot of other choices. I couldn't seem to fit Highgarden in, even though it has synergy with the theme. So it's just tough to fit in.
This is actually important. If you're not running Highgarden in any of these decks, Greyjoy's going to eat your face alive.
I definitely have one and a support in my Lion deck.
Yeah, it's, like, strongly consider getting it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun when I have it out, and I always like when I draw it, but I think I'm two Mander, one Highgarden in my line.
Yeah, well,
and with these Eddard shenanigans, it's virtually an auto-trigger on any of your events, your greater than five events, if you use Highgarden with him defending.
Yeah, well, a lot of those have the requirement of attacking, like, the events are both only when you're attacking.
Sure, but support isn't.
Support the people on defense.
I was thinking of.
I often do that with Highgarden to just get the Mander out and then trigger the Mander. It's beautiful. Oh, I love all these timing windows now. and the Mander to Randall trigger the Queen of Thorns. That felt real good in the last couple of days. Got that one off.
Nice. Hey, you know what's actually super awesome? That the Wardens, whatever they are, is that what they're called? The army?
Wardens of the Reach. Yeah,
Wardens of the Reach are so
good. They get nice
and
big.
Yeah, fast too. Like, everyone's always like, I'll attack, and I'm like, I'll defend for six. And they're like, wait, how? Count, motherfucker.
Yeah. Mander, I love the potential too. Like, as the card pool grows, there have to be more Reach locations. Whether or not they're going to be cheap, or, you know, another Mander or another Highgarden, that wouldn't do as much, but they're going to get bigger and bigger.
Hmm. All right, so options so far. So I'm actually going to change that Tyrell fealty idea, I think. I think that Tyrell fealty is better as a Tyrell no agenda.
If you're already starting with Varys, that's already kind of sounding like a non-fealty deck.
Shadow Black is going to be great.
Sure.
Like, you can do worse than some attachments to protect your guys. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot, like, support of the people, some kill events. All that suggests that you probably want that to be no agenda if you're going to test it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good neutrals for that deck.
Oh, also, since I totally forgot to say it, for the second Lion deck, why not change it up a little bit? Like, do Lion, do the same basic concept, but change a couple plots, change a couple things to fuck with people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, nothing I'm saying on this cast is actually going to be anywhere near what I play. This is all just subterfuge. We're all running, you know, Dragon and Night's Watch. Like, it's
don't run Tyrell Dragon. That would, although Kern won a tournament with that. So
is that right? What's the big pull from Dragon?
He ran. What's that super shitty card that came out in the first chapter pack? Get attachments and
the merchant.
Yeah, he ran that with three of the power icons. I don't know.
That does sound bad.
Don't do that. he won, but like
I know, but the phrase "someone somewhere won a tournament with it once" it doesn't fill in the boat. Doesn't get me excited.
Don't run Dragon. Don't run Night's Watch. Don't run Greyjoy.
Are you sure if there's not a Greyjoy build?
I think there's a Greyjoy build, but I think it's better the other way around.
Oh, there's no doubt it is. That's been smashing our meta pretty regularly. Except for the store championship, I took it down in the top four or top eight. I think.
What'd you win with?
I didn't take the tournament down. I took that deck down. The winning deck in the tournament ended up being fucking Targ Lion. There were like six. I played the Tyrell to the Lion.
Oh, nice.
So, I don't even care if people know about it. There's a lot. You can't really stop it. Like, if I have the board position, you're not going to stop it. There's not a lot of tricks. Yeah. I'm going to come kill your guys. That's basically it. No tricks. Some tricks.
Maybe. Well, the tricks are murder. Murderer's tricks.
Yeah. It's so good. Like, some these events, especially compared to what we started 1.0 with for like 5 years, the first 5 years, they're incredible. Like, Lannister Pays the Debts was cool. I love that card. Super underrated. But, to just start the core set with huge amounts of murder. and it works. Like, it doesn't feel bad. It was well designed. I'm happy with where everything got.
Adding the gold cost allowed them to kind of push that envelope without it getting out of hand.
Absolutely. That's the big thing there.
So, Glazer, you were saying going no agenda for that Tyrell.
I mean,
I haven't used Wildling Horde in a deck in 2.0 yet, but I think that slots in there.
You know, it's got a lot of redundancy with the Wardens of the Reach, and they can be dropped in the Queen of Thorns. They can get just as strong.
I like being able to find more ways to pump Randall, though.
How do they pump Randall?
They only pump themselves, I think.
Yeah, they only pump Wildlings.
Oh, it's got to be a Wildling trait. That's why I don't play that card.
You have
bad.
Some cool trait manipulation that we don't know about, Tommy?
If you run the Martell, consider the Wildling Horde. If not, don't bother.
Yeah.
Ariane is freaking hilarious with the Wildling Horde. People getting all psyched.
Interesting.
I think that Martell build is legit, too.
From Tyrell?
Yeah, the Tyrell to Sun, I think, is...
Yeah, Sun Spear is pretty great with Elena's Informant as a surprise. Either through Ariane, straight up gold, or Queen of Thorns. Like, if you can end up going second in that deck, you can really put the hurting on.
Like, I don't know if you even bother with Randall, to be perfectly honest.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
Tough stuff.
I mean, I'd probably run two of instead of three of. I'd probably, and then go lower curve, or, try and keep everything around the four and five range so Ariane can just do work. Ariane is so good.
She's a quality card.
And she just messes with challenge math an awful lot. And you have the synergy with her and Knight of Flowers. She helps you get those Mander triggers by jumping extra strength. She helps you get the Wardens in. And she gets you that extra challenge.
She does a lot to sort of enable everything else that the deck's wanting to do, especially that Mander trigger. Like, they don't know. She herself can do it on unopposed.
No,
and they don't know whether or not you got someone sitting that can do it in your hand.
Nah, she's four. She needs help.
Is she a 5/4?
Yeah, she's a 5/4.
Just kidding. She
does get you Nymeria. She does get you Nymeria, though, and Nymeria is the queen of unopposed.
Yeah, she real good.
Yeah, Nymeria's. Every time I hear someone go, Nymeria is not that good, I go, are you sure you're using her right?
Who says that?
She's
Greg.
Good.
Greg says that.
She hasn't been.
He's probably right.
Showing the performance we expected.
Man.
I'm a Greg apologist, so I'll just go with whatever he said.
She's a murder queen. Like, she gets you unopposed and she murders things.
She's really good.
Yeah. Like, how else do you really get Tywin off the board if you're not Greyjoy?
Things I do for love's real fun.
Yeah, you save up your 7 gold.
I have definitely bounced to Tywin that way.
Yeah, I've done it to Bob with a million strength and a bodyguard, and it was glorious.
Right. I actually had a true tie in the first round of Restore Championship on Saturday because I had a 7 gold things I do for love canceled in the last round on time. We ended up 13-13 because he won dominance and Chamber of the Painted Table to bring us back down. It was 14-11 going into dominance, and I saw it all coming, and I just knew that if I could get Bob off the table, that would be it. But he had his cancel, his third one. I was like, there's no way he has it.
Bob's another reason that Nymeria is going to be so good. Like, I'm assuming you're going to see Barra Banner Lion
because if every single house isn't running at least one banner lion, I don't know what's wrong.
That has made the rounds in San Diego. So I think it'll definitely be
like,
there.
But like saying Bob can't murder because Nymeria just took away his military icon is freaking phenomenal.
Yeah. Anything that hurts Bob is great.
Yeah. Literally anything. So how do you feel about the Targ matchup? Like, what beyond strength pumps, is there any tech that helps for the Targ matchup?
Well, other than just really, really, really trying hard to murder Danny.
Yeah.
That's always been my, if I can get that to happen, good chances I'll win it. It's kind of how I feel about Baratheon, that the deck can really step on the gas first turn and second turn before they can get fully set up. If the game goes long, I'm really not excited about that. Those boards get real big, and then the murder events become so much harder to get through.
Are you running Wildfire?
Yes.
Oh, stop doing that.
I have one.
Well, yeah, no, it's okay. Everyone else on the cast thinks I'm wrong, so it's fine.
They must be right.
I mean, that's pretty much like the subtitle of the show these days, right? White Book Podcast, :
Why Aaron's wrong
this week.
It's fine. I still think it's wrong.
So you're greedy. You have 7 plots, and you're only going to play 3 of them in the first 3 turns. No one's asking you to open with Wildfire or even play it before your 7th plot. Like, it depends on the deck, but most of these that I'm building, it's there for a really good time to use it, or it's my 7th plot. Like, so I don't need that extra flexibility that something else gave, because it itself gives really great flexibility.
It turns out that I very, very often win around plot 7 or 8, and Wildfire has, when being run, cost me there. It's definitely a high skill cap plot. It turns out, like I've been thinking about it a lot, that I really like Wildfire if you're not bannering, and I like it an awful lot less if you are bannering for most banners.
Interesting. Why is that?
Because if you're bannering, and like, I don't care about 90% of my opponent's boards as a general rule. I don't care if they have 15 characters out, as long as, like, one of them's not Danny, or one of them's not Tywin, or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, right? So if I can murder them, and I run literally at least 5 murder events, usually all 6, plus cancels and et cetera, and whatever else. So I usually have multiple good characters on the board, because, and I'm taking away their good characters. So I just have such an advantage in character quality, unless something has gone horribly, horribly wrong, and I'm really whittling away at those big characters. So I don't need Wildfire for that. The problem with running Fealty or No Agenda is there's so few good characters in any one given house, with the probable exception of Terrell, because Paxter and Marjorie are both necessary. There's so few good characters that I'm much more willing to Wildfire and assume that my opponent is going to have to kill someone important because they're bannering.
I will say this in agreement with you, that I often find myself playing Wildfire simply for initiative when I do have it in a deck. Because you're right, I don't really care about the other characters, even my own characters. There's, yeah, you know, 2 or 3 that I genuinely could give a crap if I keep.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of the goal?
Sure, but if I'm running a banner, I have more than 2 or 3 out if I'm playing my game plan.
You know, I think you're underestimating the, like, subtle, unopposed power game.
No,
like, no, it maybe Tommy is. How about that? Since you're not gonna budge. Tommy, I think you might be underestimating the subtleties of that unopposed power game. If they have 6 characters out and you have a good icon spread, it's totally slowing down your unopposed gain. And, you know, they're gonna throw chumps at you. If they have quantity over quality, it's not nothing, Aaron. Like, that is gonna add up on the unopposed side.
Sure. Yes, I agree. It turns out, generally speaking, Renown tends to even that out. And most of the better characters in the game, or the characters I run that I'm considering in this category, have Renown.
That's fair, but if you have Renown, the unopposed looks even better, because then you're double dipping.
Sure.
I don't know. I often use it as that, like, that it's time to push on power. I'm not getting any unopposed because the boards are so big. And like Tommy said, that initiative is really nice, too. Like, if you can get to the point where you can go second and they're just not throwing any chump attacks, they don't have any chump blockers. Like, that's one of the things I hate the most in this game is the one strength reducer jump attack or defend, which
I do it so
much. It's not going to go away, but
I love that chump stuff like that.
Do you, like, that's not super thematic. Like, oh, your garden caretaker came up and said a bad thing to me, and somehow he stole 2 power. I don't know. It doesn't resonate with me on a theme level or really on a gameplay level. So, I definitely like big, meaningful challenges.
Yeah. I feel like in 2.0, I play a lot more defensively than most people. I think the game is built to defense more than first edition is. I also don't think, like, I think I'm more willing to let military boards get really big and sort of not give a shit about military challenges unless I'm trying to push that kill, not give a shit about intrigue unless I'm trying to avoid you hitting that kill, and focusing on power and then steadily gaining to win. It's just hard to stop given that there's no real board wipe. And, like, if you shrink the board, I'm 1.0 enough. I mean, I don't think it's any, like, great, like, skill I have. I think it's just I played 1.0 so much that I always have backup plans and extra shit in hand.
Fair enough. Okay. So we can all agree, 2x Wildfire Assault in every single deck from here on out.
Do it.
Plus Confiscation.
Yeah.
there we go.
No, and 2 Confiscation. Cheat, because anything can make Bruno sad.
That's fair. has anyone built a deck with 2 Wildfires? Like,
yeah.
Yes,
I actually started out. Yeah, that's what I. That's what I took to Worlds. Actually,
out of what house?
It was Lannister Banner of the Rose.
What?
That is, I played a Bear Greyjoy using 2 Wildfires. I actually got second in a tournament with that. Just the idea of keeping the board small and being able to stealth anybody that matters and controlling the rest with the Neil.
That's sound reasoning. I like that.
To wit with your what there, Aaron, I would point out that it did poorly and that deck was not well conceived.
Yeah.
2 Wildfires was not the way to go for that deck.
No. That
I have others that it would fit in.
Yeah. That,
one's more like Tommy's.
You know what's actually not the worst idea? 2 Wildfire if you're going to go for that power game in the Tyrell Stark. Yeah. Although, like, be careful because Stark has a lot of really good low-cost characters.
A lot of unique ones at that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm finding Wildfire difficult to deal with in that Tyrell the Stark Rush deck just because of Bran, Arya, Sansa, all those guys that I do want to keep them around. Mm-hmm. But I also need the Knight of Flowers, also need Randall, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I really wish that this tournament was a couple months from now because that Knights and Ladies deck is not there 100% yet. I think Lady Sansa's Rose is the linchpin, and it's nice that it's already out, but some of those supporting pieces like extra knights or Lady Tech are just around the corner. It's making me less interested in playing it. Just knowing that it's an inferior version of what the final deck's going to look like.
So, suggestion to sort of sum up. So, 2 Lannister, certainly. Slightly different, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then, I think Martell seems like, how do you not, sort of? No?
Yeah, I would be happy if we settled on 2 Lion, 2 Sun. If
one of the other guys can do 2 and 2?
Yeah. So just no more than 2 of the same agenda on a team.
Nice. Try the no, test that no agenda. Like, I'll even build it and send it to you in a little bit. But test Please that do. No agenda. I'm calling it, like, I got a hunch.
Yeah, all right. That could also be a backup. I'm pretty hard on the Lion, but...
Oh yeah.
Still looking for the other deck. I kind of feel like we'll go 2 and 2, but it's very much up to the individual choice. I'm not gonna push a deck on the other Lion. I don't think I'm gonna push a deck on any of the other 3 Tyrell players.
Share options so they at least have them.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot in our Facebook group, but nothing super decided yet. It's 10 days away.
Keep cracking.
Yeah, really.
On the props and slops?
Sure.
All right. I guess I'm going to continue the trend here, and I'm going to go ahead and claim the opening spot because I only have 1 item this week. I have 1 prop, and that's going to be to a Kickstarter that I need you guys to go check out. And no, this is not a paid endorsement. But while we've been recording this podcast on Wednesday, I've watched this Kickstarter gain about $9,000 worth. This is for the 7th Sea 2nd Edition RPG. It's like 48 hours in and had a goal of 30,000. And it's currently, as I look at this, at $407,373.
Oh, man.
Goodness.
Which is absurd. What's even more absurd is there are 2 guys that I know personally, I would say friends, though I don't see Rob very often, that were on the team that worked on this, And when I say that, I mean Michael Curry, the systems lead for this, is a guy that I play D&D with every week. So it's pretty baller to see their new project. Well, I say new, kind of a rebooted project with John Wick, blowing it out of the friggin' water. This is crazy.
So what is it?
Okay, so 7th Sea, of course, like I said, this is an RPG, a pen and paper role-playing game, tabletop, dice, that sort of thing. 7th Sea is set in kind of an alternate world Renaissance pirate era. So it's all pirate-themed. So instead of having, like, England, you have kind of its mystical alternate universe equivalent of Avalon. Instead of Spain, you have Castile and things of that nature. They roughly more or less match up to different kind of European seafaring nations, though their next source book is going to add the New World, and they've got all sorts of crazy stretch goals of different maps and other nations around the world that are getting added and different.
Wasn't there a card game of this back in the day?
Yeah. AEG had the rights to do a card game to this back in the, oh gosh, late 90s, early aughts, maybe, something like that. And as I understand it, John Wick was the guy that had originally done the RPG and, like, the flavor world and stuff, and he just recently, like last year, got the publishing rights back from AEG, so that's why he's launching a second edition.
Does he only have them for the RPG, or does he have them for anything?
That I do not know.
Hmm. Sounds very cool.
Yep, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to prop another Kickstarter while we're here. Sentinels of the Multiverse Kickstarter up.
Oh, the final.
The final Obliv-Aeon. Its goal was $40,000. It hit that in 8 minutes. It's it's a day in, and it's at $550,000 or so. It's opened every stretch goal but the $750,000 and the but the $750,000 and 1,000,000 goals, and since we're 2 days in and almost there, it seems fairly likely we're at least in $750,000. There are 5 heroes. If you hate Sentinels, fast forward because I'm going to talk some shit. If there are 5 heroes coming in the box, one basically for each expansion, and it's going to be a villain turned hero. Like, so Baron Blade is going hero from the first box. Nice. La Capitaine is going hero. Who else? Ambuscade is like the stuntman. There's a hero version, and there's an Akashputa hero version, and then someone else I'm forgetting. But yeah, plus there's so far 6 more hero decks that are like mini expansions that come for backing the Kickstarter, including individual decks of all the Sentinels are like a team of heroes that play as one deck. They're each getting individual decks for backing the Kickstarter, and every promo hero. If you spend like, I think actually like $15, every promo hero that's ever been printed comes with it too.
Yeah. It's pretty silly.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get this.
It's a fantastic amount of stuff. It's my Valentine's Day present.
Nice.
So check it out. Buy in.
Yeah.
I actually started playing Sentinels in my group from listening to this podcast.
Nice. Like it?
And I hate it. I hate it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'll probably get that Kickstarter. It's a wonderful game.
Yeah. There is if anyone's interested also, there's like a $400 tier where you literally just get everything.
Yeah.
You get everything they've ever made that Sentinels.
Yeah. It's just crazy. This is going to be awesome, but I am insanely sad that this is evidently it.
I'm actually considering buying. There's this thing. It's called the Cauldron. It's like an entire fan-made, ridiculously giant expansion. If I get bored and want to, I'll eventually probably just get that.
There you go.
And Ryan, I just built your deck.
Yeah. Cool, man. Send it over.
Did anybody have anything else, or is this just Kickstarter palooza?
Well, I'll throw a prop out there. Over the last couple of weeks, my wife and I have been playing a Pathfinder Adventure card game. And
oh yeah,
we've actually been having a lot of fun with that, even just doing it as two-player. Because a lot of times, you know, we'll have put the kid to bed and we'll want to do something, but not necessarily something competitive every night. And so it's fun because you can play this together and you get a little bit of that RPG feel of progressing a character and stuff. And it's just right. So I'd recommend that.
Very nice. I've heard nothing but good things about it in the past.
What else? Ryan, what do you got?
Nothing good this week. Just a bunch of work.
Slop.
Thanks for letting me come on, though. It was. Is this my first time on? I feel like I've been here before.
I think it might be your first time. I mean, I know I had bugged you a couple times before about maybe getting on to Toxin Melee, and you shot me down, and it was really sad.
Yeah, I'm a tough git, so that's understandable.
So you're going to come on after Thrones War, though, right?
Yeah, get a recap.
Talk results, yeah. It's always fun to see who ends up on top. Last year, I didn't mention this before, but our winning team, Baratheon, going into the cut, had the 3rd, 5th, 6th, and 9th seeds, and they just stomped everybody. Like there was no way they weren't going to win the team. So that wasn't very high drama. But hopefully this year we'll have some closer total team win counts going into the finals in order the top 4 or top 8.
Nice. I'm really curious to see what people bring. Any other Thrones War suggestions for you? Should we just have people drop them in the comments to the podcast?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, we're gonna have my buddy Ross on the Discord chat, Facebook. He's big on Twitter, so there'll probably be some hashtags to follow, I think is the right thing to say. And then of course the Twitch stream. So we'll be all over the place. People can follow along. I know the Pacific time zone, we're not gonna have the full international audience there, but I think there's a way to save everything off from the Twitch stream, right?
Yeah, there is. I don't know what it is, but there definitely is.
Yeah, I'll try and figure it out in the next 10 days.
Oh,
so we can have him.
You met Roy at Worlds, right?
I did. Wonderful, yeah, man.
Yeah, message Roy. Roy knows how.
Oh yeah, he's the king.
I mean, yeah.
That's the king of Twitch.
Basically.
Cool. Yeah, I'll
get in touch
with him and see him.
Hey, I should announce that too. Me, Patrick, Roy, and maybe Dark Nudge are going to do some live deck building next Tuesday. It'll be on Twitch. It'll end up on the Beyond the White Book YouTube page. We'll take requests on what to build. We'll build like one main deck, and then we'll just take requests, and we'll get drunk while doing it. So it should be a fun view.
Sounds good. You may get some Tyrell requests there, so be ready for that.
I will build every Tyrell deck you want. I will build one for every house if you want me to.
All the options.
Yeah, all the options. Although I probably won't build that stupid, really bad Targ card one.
Wait. Oh, yeah. No, everyone but that.
Oh, that card is so bad.
And that closes another chapter of the White Book.
Sure.
It seemed like that was an end
of
thing.
Stop putting the question mark on the teleprompter.
So read anything you say.